Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Armasino, and on the Skype line with me is Bleacher Report AFC West lead blogger Chris Hansen and owner of RaidersBlog.com. This is our second podcast we're bringing to you this week, also recorded on Tuesday afternoon. So if any news breaks, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday when you listen to this, we'll have recorded on Tuesday. We're talking today about free agency and the Raiders in free agency, and we're going to start basically by talking about the Raider cap situation, which isn't one that's going to leave them with a lot of flexibility. Chris, you know, the Raiders don't have, they have a lot of dead money on the cap. It's not, they're not in really in a great circumstance. Explain a little bit about, you know, why there's a lot of uncertainty about what the cap is going to be set at. Because we're not 100% sure, like, what the exact cap number is in terms of how much money a team can spend. But we know that the Raiders aren't going to have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, so the basics behind the cap, I mean, first of all, you have to set what the cap is going to be. And the way that that works for the league, it's more complicated than I think people realize, is the league actually works with an NFL Players Association to set that cap. And what they do is they can borrow from future revenues, which is really interesting. So it's kind of like they're borrowing from future to make sure that there's kind of an even. They basically are trying to avoid a situation where there's a big jump in the cap, and with new TV money kicking in next year and things like that, they're kind of borrowing money from future years. Last year, the cap was set higher than the actual revenues were because of the lockout and all that stuff. So, that's what they're doing. And so they haven't really settled on what that cap's going to be, because they want to borrow more from the cap to avoid a bump in the cap too much next year. So, they haven't really settled on what it is. Initial report was $121 million. Now people are saying it could be $122 plus. So it hasn't really been figured quite yet. That said, the Raiders don't figure to have a lot of flexibility regardless.
Yeah, and you know, there's one other thing we need to clarify, or at least get some clarification on before we move on, was Richard Seymour, because it was a false report out there. False report or correct that Seymour had a deadline, I think it was last Friday, to where the Raiders had to void his contract, and they didn't officially void it, but it's not the idea that he they're still going to void him. That's correct, right?
The way that it's one of those things where it's neither here nor there in terms of Richard Seymour's contract voided automatically. No one had to do anything. You know, it's not like the Raiders had to stamp, say, oh, we're voiding Richard Seymour's contract. It's not like Richard Seymour had to turn in some paperwork. His contract automatically voids by the very language in it at the start of the new league year, which means there's nothing that they have to do. It voided, it's one of those weird things of, it voided, you know, two Fridays ago or whatever it was. That's when the trigger was for his voiding. But it doesn't actually come into play until the new league year starts in March. So, you know, there was not really a deadline per se, and there wasn't really anything that anybody had to do. All you really need to know is when the new year league year starts, Richard Seymour will no longer be on the roster.
And his salary will count as dead money, correct?
A lot of it, yeah. A huge amount of it. I can't remember right off the top of my head what it was, but it's gigantic.
I think Spodrac had it at $13 or $14 million if it was just dead money. And for people listening that don't know, dead money is money that still counts against your cap. Because if you cut a guy, you still have to pay him a certain amount. But, you know, the cap number is a really important thing, because that limits your flexibility moving forward, whether you're signing guys or, you know, restructuring guys. And so Richard Seymour is going to have about $13 million against the cap in dead money, which is really, really bad for the Raiders.
Yeah, so the Raiders have had, unfortunately, the Raiders have, they had a lot of dead money, most dead money last year. They'll probably lead the league in dead money this year. And depending on what they do with guys like DHB, Tommy Kelly, Carson Palmer, Orlando McClain, they have no shortage of guys that if they release them, they're going to be more dead money. And so you're talking about more dead money on the cap. Now, me personally, I feel like the Raiders should kind of rip off the Band-Aid as much as possible, and, you know, take the much dead money this year, so they could have a nice clean cap situation next year. But at the same time, a lot of people, what they do is, a lot of teams, what they do is they spread that cap it out as far as they can go, so that way they have the maximum flexibility each year, as opposed to the rip off the Band-Aid method. So we'll see what McKenzie does this year. It's going to be interesting to see how he treats this. Certainly it would seem odd to me if he doesn't rip off the Band-Aid, but there's some things that he can do too. DHB, Tommy Kelly, and Palmer could all redo restructurings and still save the Raiders some cap money. So that's a possibility too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting. If you look at it, the Raiders, like, their salaries now aren't as egregious as, like, you would kind of imagine that they just have all these giant inflated salaries. A lot of it's the dead money that the dead money really is what sets them back and puts them in bad circumstance. It's not necessarily all the contracts they have on the team.
Yeah. Basically, you're right. So there is a situation where if you can get a guy to take less money in a restructuring, then you certainly can save that dead money, because you keep the player on your team, you're not getting that acceleration. And so it's obviously a benefit to your team to do that. So that's why you see a lot of restructurings this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about free agency. We'll start with the offense, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot more work to be done on the defensive end. So we're going to start with the offense. If the Raiders really, I think their biggest positions of need, I'd like to see them bring in like a veteran tight end, maybe another running back for depth purposes, or even maybe a fit scheme purpose. I don't know. Obviously, given that the only place they probably don't need a guy is fullback and center, and anywhere else they definitely need to bring in a right tackle, and you could argue they need to bring in an offensive lineman for depth, like a guard, maybe a guy who can play guard and tackle.
Yeah, there's various guys. We're breaking down needs for the Raiders offense. I mean, straight needs. You need a tight end. If you're not going to bring Myers back, you can try to bring Myers back. But you're going to need a tight end of some kind. You need a guard. At least one guard. You need a right tackle. And these are things that obviously you can tackle in the draft too. But and then a backup running back is probably necessary as well. So those are kind of the four positions. Go look at different guys around the league. My guess is that's where they will attack with the tight end. I don't know if they'll bring Myers back or not.
I think even if they bring Myers back, you still need a guy.
Well, you need a blocking fullback. Now, I like Richard Gordon as a blocking fullback. I thought he was grossly underused last year as a blocking fullback. Brandon Myers was a pretty putrid blocker.
Terrible. He's a horrible blocker.
Yeah, and yet he played almost all the snaps and got all the blocking. And so, I mean, yeah, you tip your hand, I guess, a little bit when you bring in a blocking fullback, but I think Richard Gordon also proved that, he could be a threat. And so you could play the chess game a little bit with him. And we didn't see much of Osberry, and I don't really know how he's come along as a blocker. I liked him as a blocker in the preseason, but that can be a little bit deceiving. But I like Richard Gordon as a blocker, and I thought he was grossly underused, especially considering kind of the tag team with him and Myers would have benefited the team. So, definitely need to bring somebody in, either that is all around, can stay on the field, or, bring Myers back and just use those guys a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if you bring Myers back, you bring in a veteran guy to throw in the mix there, with Gordon and Osberry and Myers, and then, maybe a veteran tight end. And then that way you can at least, you can have them compete in camp. Like, I think, what, this is Osberry's third year? I feel like if Osberry's not going to pan out now, maybe now's kind of the time to cut ties with him.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I think, I'm reading, I'm sure you've read it, The Essential Smart Football. Have you read that book?
I actually have not read it, but yeah, it's a good book.
It's a fantastic book, and I'm almost done with it, but one of the chapters they talked about how Rex Ryan forced Belichick to change up his offense from that spread attack to now using these tight ends. And it talks about how you need a guy as a tight end who can really, you know, put the terms of, you know, back on the offense. You know, you can dictate to a defense with the tight ends you have. And it's not necessarily saying the Raiders need to, you know, they're not going to run this tight end-oriented offense, because they probably won't. But, you know, it'd be nice to have that kind of option out there, or at least, you know, Myers is a little bit like that in terms of the receiving, but, like, you know, just they need more tight ends out there, and I think they need better tight end play. You know, they need better all-around tight end play. One of the nice things that they talk about with, like, your Gronkowski, and he can block too. You know, he's obviously a great receiver, but he's not a terrible blocker either. And so, you know, it makes the get the defense back on their heels a little bit when you have a good tight end like that. With Myers, you know, as we talked about, I felt like the defense, when Myers is out there, you don't even have to worry about him in the running game as much because he's such a bad blocker. I mean, he got beat by everybody he tried to block, and he doesn't really, he's a decent receiver, but he's such a bad blocker, he's a negative to have out there.
Yeah, and that's one of the things with him is he's not really a good enough receiver to split him out wide very often and be, kind of like that pure tight end split, you know, slot tight end type receiver. He's a good enough receiver basically to be a check down option and, you know, be a security blanket for a quarterback. But then, you know, if you leave him on the field too much, he's not such a great blocker, both in the run and the pass game. And so when you do that, I think you end up hurting your team leaving a guy like that on the field full time. I like Brandon Myers as, like you said, if you're going to platoon him with another tight end, I don't think you have to. You're locked into a must-have, like, a lead tight end today. It certainly helps. But if you're gonna have a guy like Myers, you need to be able to rotate him in and out with a blocking guy.
Absolutely. Another position we talked about was right tackle, which is absolutely probably the biggest need, I guess, I have on offense. I mean, apart from a franchise quarterback, whatever. But in free agency, I definitely think whether they address it through the draft or free agency, they have to figure out what they're going to do with that right tackle spot.
Yeah, they have to find a body there for sure, at least one. And there's some guys. There's some guys available out there that could become an option at right tackle. There's certainly no shortage of restricted unrestricted free agents. The problem is we don't know exactly what that grouping is going to look like, because I think a lot of tackles, one thing about tackles and offensive linemen in general is you see a lot of them end up getting re-signed by their teams. It's not like these receivers who are seeking mega deals and it's harder to get a deal done. The linemen typically, you know, if the team wants them, a lot of times you're going to see that deal get done the majority of the time. And so we don't really know yet who's going to be on the market. But there's some guys that, you know, could potentially hit the market that I don't know how much they'd cost, but they might end up being, you know, really good values for right tackle. But otherwise, you know, maybe go through the draft. But, you know, there's certainly guys out there that would be intriguing if they do hit the market. But right now it's a little early to tell. In free agency, just who's going to hit the market and who's not. Because, I mean, there's certainly three or four guys I'd be really interested in, but none of them might hit the market.
Yeah, in this podcast, we're going to talk about more just what the needs are and, you know, the Raiders' money situations, because, as Chris said, there's so much between. We could talk about, I could get on this, you know, list and pull out five offensive tackles I'd really like to have, and then by the time we get, you know, the league, the free agency opens, none of them are on the market, and then it's just a waste. And so what we're really going to do today is talk about more what the needs are and what the money situation is.
Right. I think exactly. And so when you look at, you're going to have to look for values, the Raiders are going to have to look for values at right tackle, just as they are any of the other positions. Thankfully, linemen don't tend to come as expensive as others. But when you're talking about, okay, what kind of guy are the Raiders going to be looking for? Well, they're probably going to be looking for, unlike, you know, the whole zone blocking transition thing last year, they're going to go back to that power blocking thing. And right tackle tends to be where you really want to put that powerful, big pusher kind of guy, the big, you know, run blocker off that right end. And so that might be a guy that they're really looking for. You know, there's some guys out there, like King Dunlap, for example, is a, you know, big guy that's out there. There's various other ones, but
Phil Loadholt, too.
Yeah, and there's these big guys that, you know, they should become available, but, you know, we don't know exactly yet how they're going to become available. I say King Dunlap because he's just one that I don't believe that he really fits what Chip Kelly's going to want to do. So, you know, he's a guy that I feel like could be a potential option there. But anyway, there's these guys that are going to come in and for a value come in and solidify that position. One thing people need to realize, I mean, right tackles take abuse more than probably any position in the NFL because typically you're putting your least athletic guy maybe on your entire team there. And, you know, you're asking them a lot of times to stop like a pass rusher around the edge. And as long, typically you're accepting of that as a team as long as they, you know, are adequate in the run game. They can be a little bit of a liability in the pass game, at least this is the traditional thought on it anyway. They can be a little bit of a liability because the quarterback can see that guy coming and step up in the pocket and step away from the pressure.
Also, in a lot of offenses, your tight end's lining up on that side as well, and so
you have a chip.
In theory, of a chip, right?
Exactly. So you have a lot of different options, and also traditionally, obviously, if you believe that you have a franchise left tackle, your running back also can chip and help out that right tackle. So there's a lot of different things you can do with a right tackle that's not quite the best pass blocker. But I think where the Raiders really going to be looking is they want a guy that can really get the run game going. So when you're talking about that, look at these guys. Which of these guys are really going to be great run blockers? And so, you know, for our new scheme or the Raiders' new scheme, it's going to be a guy that really can push the defensive ends around. And, you know, big strong guy who can and run downhill because that's the kind of runner Darren McFadden is, and that's really what's going to help the Raiders. So look for those guys. And as free agency gets close, we'll talk about what guys fit that right. become available.
Right. Any chance they bring in a receiver, a number one receiver?
You know, the number one receivers, they're too expensive in free agency. The Raiders just, I don't think they can afford it. Will they bring in a receiver? They could. I'd like to see them go after Greg Jennings, but at the same time, you know, sounds like he wants like $12 million a year.
Yeah, that's craziness.
Even if he gets 10, the Raiders can't afford that. So, you know, I don't really see them bringing in a guy like that. Sure, White Mike Wallace, great guy. Would be a great guy to have on this team. But at the same time, I just do not see how they can afford a number one receiver like that. Plenty of other guys that they could bring in, you know, lower tier guys that they could bring in. But for as far as number one guy, no, it would be a guy that could come in and provide competition to their current guys.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll move to the defense now because I think we talked about everything on offense. Is there anything on offense that we missed?
Not really. I mean, you could backup running back.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, backup running back is definitely a position where you could bring in a guy. Mike Goodson was a zone blocking guy. He's a free agent. There's not really anybody else behind McFadden, and with his injury history, you're going to have to bring somebody else in. Running backs also come super cheap today. In today's NFL, they're just super, super cheap. And so, you know, there's all kinds of guys. You know, it sounds funny, but, you know, reuniting Darren McFadden with Felix Jones is going to come super cheap, and they have they're kind of similar players, you know. I mean, and he's going to come super cheap. You could even bring in him with another guy, you know. So overall, there's a lot of different options for the Raiders for a backup running back. You know, they might want to bring in a guy like Felix Jones with a bruiser. Bruiser that's available doesn't really roll off the top of my head right now. But
there's a guy like a little Garrett Blunt's available. Cedric Benson, Lex Hilliard, something like that. Peyton Hillis, something like that.
Yeah, the Raiders had some interest in Cedric Benson last year, I believe.
Yeah, they did.
Jackie Battle. These are big back. Jonathan Dwyer, I think, is restricted, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, these are a big bruising back to go with. I think one of the myths was when McFadden was with Michael Bush was a lot of people felt like because Michael Bush was so big that he was the bruising back and McFadden was like the speed back. But I always felt the opposite. McFadden runs big. He runs hard. He runs downhill. He hits people in the mouth. Bush was a little bit more shifty. He was a big guy, but he didn't really pound people as it seemed that he did.
Right. That's actually funny. I was thinking about that the other day. Bush was just a good running back, but he wasn't really a bruiser. Like, I can't remember a whole lot of times I ever saw Michael Bush really run through somebody like we saw McFadden do a lot of times. You know, Bush had a lot of long runs, you know.
Bush could come back. I think he's going to get cut by the Bears, so, you know, he might be an option too.
Yeah, I'd welcome him back. You know, he's a guy who doesn't fumble at all or rarely fumbles, and he's comfortable playing in Oakland. I think that'd be a good move to bring him back.
Yeah, so and every year there's going to be guys that, and right now there's guys that are probably going to be cut that we don't even know about yet. So yeah. There's going to be some options available, and that's why we're not trying to go into too much specifics on it. But the Raiders are going to have some options, and running backs come super cheap, so I do expect them to bring in somebody through free agency to back up McFadden, because they certainly need to hedge their bets with McFadden. I mean, they have to.
Right, and there's a few guys I like in the draft, actually, but I don't think a running back in the draft is really what they need at this point, given the finite number of draft picks they have and, like, how many needs they have on defense.
I mean, if there's a really guy that's a really good value, they could certainly bring him in because, you know, McFadden, this is his last final year in his contract. And maybe the Raiders want to re-sign him, but, you know, if he can't stay healthy and you can find a really good value late in the draft, this would be the year to do that, to bring in a guy later in the draft that you feel like can become a starter. So,
yeah. No, I agree. And then I guess one last spot on offense would be another guard, maybe. I wonder if they'd think about, with them moving away from the zone blocking scheme, if they'd wonder about possibly cutting Bryzel and trying to bring in somebody to take his spot.
Yeah, I mean, I suggested that, and I think that would be probably ideal just because I think he's making too much for what he's going to be. But from the sounds of it anyway, you know, kind of almost immediately after the season, they said, he was hurt. He was playing hurt the whole year, you know. And then they also said, you know, when Greg Olsen was asked about him, they said, he's a big, tough guy. He can play in any scheme type deal. So it seems to me that they're going to probably keep Bryzel because that's also one less position they have to worry about addressing in free agency or through the draft because they already have to address left guard. And I think Cooper Carlisle, I think maybe he's finally run his course as a Raider.
Hopefully.
And there's plenty of options out there. The only question is if any of them are any better than Carlisle. That's always one of those things that is tough.
I feel like we've been looking for Carlisle to get, like, released for, like, 2 or 3 years now. And, like, he always kind of just hangs around. He's never really that bad. But I feel like he's always been on his last legs for, like, 3 years now.
I think the thing about Carlisle is he's so solid in pass protection as a guard that, you know, it's hard to really, like, get outraged about him because he's not necessarily full starting or giving up big sacks so much. So it's like, well, you know, you live with him. But I think this year with the renewed focus on getting McFadden going, I think you need somebody who's going to really clear the way. And Carlisle, I think that's where, as he's gotten older, he's really dropped off. It is pushing people around in the run game, sorry. And I think they need somebody who can do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, so we'll talk about defense now. It's easier to name where they don't need somebody. I mean, you basically need someone at every position. If you don't need a starter, you need depth at every position because they have zero depth. And, like, two or three guys, you know, between Lamar Houston and I'd imagine they're going to try and bring back Bryant and Wheeler. And then you have the safeties. And they may even, with the contracts the safeties have, they may even get rid of, like, Huff. I mean, there's so much on defense that they need. It's, at this point, I feel like, you know, they're going to bring in a plethora of guys, all pretty cheap. You're not going to see them bring in a huge defensive free agent, I don't think.
Yeah. What's weird about the Raiders' situation, I mean, they have a lot of needs on defense. They're prob- perceive their needs however different than we do, because they know what young players they like, obviously, and when young players they feel comfortable giving an opportunity or giving a shot next year. I like, you know, like Phillip Adams, I think is a player that a lot of people feel good about giving a shot, even despite his concussion issues. So he's a guy that the Raiders feel comfortable giving a shot, but even if you consider him, you know, okay, so they're going to give Phillip Adams a shot to start, and then you've got Huff's one of those, I don't think people are talking enough. I mean, I know that the Raiders have said they want to move him back to safety, but I don't know how with his contract, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I think like Palmer, they have to approach him about a pay cut or doing something with his contract that makes it more team-friendly. I know they just did that last year with both him and Palmer, but, you know, situations keep changing, and I feel like they need to do that again. You know, if you look across the roster, starters from last year that are locked to make the roster, like Branch and Burris, even if he's not as a starter in Houston, and then beyond that, it's tough to say that any of the guys will be a lock. Now, chances are Raiders are going to try to sign Wheeler, they're going to try to sign Bryant, they might restructure Kelly, he's a good candidate for that, and so that would obviously change some things around, but man, there are a lot of needs, and they're going to have to work the free agency really hard and find some undervalued guys to fill some roles, because the Raiders need a lot of starters, but they also need backups. And so when you talk about what they're going to need to work free agency really hard, find undervalued guys that can play vital roles on the team, and then they don't even have a full deck of cards of terms of draft picks. So they don't have all their draft picks, so it's not easy to, you know, add depth players when you're talking about, hey, missing your second round pick. Well, your second round pick is typically a guy that you expect to start. So Raiders hopefully can add two starters through the draft, first and third round. Hopefully, maybe they can get lucky enough to add one in the fourth round and get three. But that's like best case scenario. So you don't have that second round pick. You're gonna have to really work the free agents to find those underrated guys to fill a variety of needs on the team. Because they certainly have a lot of free agents, their own, and a lot of holes, and they need a lot of their guys are free agents too. So they have to kind of decide which one of those guys they feel like, you know, really worked their way into a role for next year.
Yeah, you know, it's like they have the Bartel and Spencer situation, kind of like last year, where they're gonna have to bring in undervalued, or I guess they probably ended up being the value that they were paid, but given they got hurt. But guys like that, but they have it at multiple positions this year. It's not just they have it at cornerback. Like, and, you know, we looked at the cornerbacks before we get on here. You and I were talking. There's a plethora of, you know, guys like a Bartel and a Spencer that haven't been necessarily as injury prone that the Raiders would probably look to bring in were they to hit the open market. So I think there's guys that they will be able to bring in. And I think while Oakland's not necessarily the most attractive free agent place, I think the pitch they can make that, you know, you can come in here if you're going to come in really cheap, but you can play, and right, a lot of these guys you can start, and so they actually may be able to draw a few good veteran players in for pretty cheap.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a selling point for the Raiders over a lot of these other teams. Is, you know, a lot of these veterans, they maybe got a couple good years left. And they don't want to spend those years necessarily playing a backup role. You know, a lot of guys don't like to accept that, especially if they've been a starter for a long time. So you can definitely see them bring in a guy that, hey, you know, you can come in here and your path to playing time is pretty open. And
you just have to stay healthy.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But basically, these guys just have to stay healthy. And they're going to get pretty good playing time with the Raiders, I would think. We were talking about yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Philadelphia cut a pair of defensive tackles. It was Cullen Jenkins and Mike Patterson.
Yep.
I'm not sure Jenkins is a fit for the Raiders. I feel like he's going to go back to Green Bay. Because I think he's got his ring now, because he won a ring with Green Bay, correct? And then he you know, cashed in big with Philadelphia, and I didn't see exactly what the details of them getting rid of him was, but I imagine he's going to take a pretty good chunk of change with him as he leaves. I could see him going back to Green Bay, like, pretty cheap. Like, I don't think he's an option for the Raiders.
Well, I think he is an option for the Raiders. It's going to depend on how much he's going to cost. But I definitely think he's an option
for the Raiders. He'd come to the Raiders, though?
Well, I think that's the bigger thing. Is
right. That's what I meant. Not that they wouldn't look at it, but I don't think he'd come to the Raiders necessarily.
Yeah, veteran. That's the tough part with veterans. You know, when you have a young team like this, you have to ask yourself, what do I want to bring in? What kind of veterans do I want to bring in? Because you're trying to build your youth, so you don't want to, you know, you don't necessarily want to clog, you know, positions up and put a path in front of your young players to get playing time when you're trying to build something. And so it's a difficult thing. And then, you know, the veterans obviously want to go to teams where they have a chance of winning, those kind of things. But as we were just saying, that they might want to go to a team where they're going to play a lot. And that's something the Raiders can offer to a lot of these veterans, and that goes for both the corners and for the defensive tackles. But that said, yeah, I mean, I don't know about Colin Jenkins. I think about Colin Jenkins, though, if the Raiders can lure him in, he's the kind of guy that is going to help the Raiders establish the right kind of locker room, the right kind of environment that they really want to foster in Oakland. And so that's one of those things where he's a kind of player that the Raiders might be really interested in for that reason.
Right, and he was really good. He was pretty good last year. I think Pro Football Focus had him rated as one of their top 10 defensive tackles, I believe. Like, he was pretty good. He's gone because of money reasons, not because he wasn't producing.
Exactly.
So if they could bring him in, I think he'd be a great fit. But I think he's going to go back to Green Bay or something like that. I don't think he'd come to the Raiders.
I mean, the Raiders would rather have Desmond Bryant back than a guy like Colin Jenkins. But that said, he's definitely a guy that I think they'll at least inquire about to see if he's interested and see if McKenzie can kind of work something. And, you know, if they can't re-sign Bryant, they're going to have to do something else at the position. So they're going to have to start looking for other options. If Bryant, somebody might come in and try to offer Bryant, you know, more than the Raiders can do. So then they're going to have to start looking around for other guys. So that'll be interesting, too, see what they do. Overall, I think the Raiders, you know, there's so much that they have to do on defense. I think part of the reason that I feel that they need to go with a pass rusher in the draft, you know, at some point they need to draft a guy that's going to be able to get to the passer and really help them in the passing, to stop the passing game, is you look at how much defensive ends and pass rushing linebackers cost in free agency. They're ridiculous. You know, you need to be able to get a guy on your own that's much cheaper. And so I feel like the Raiders really need to do that to really make this work for them. And so I don't feel like, you know, there's some pass rushers out there, they're going to cost way too much. But undervalued defensive tackles and even some other linebackers and stuff, I think there's going to be some values out there that McKenzie can exploit.
Do you think they're going to bring back Andre Carter?
You know, I think Andre Carter came on a little bit towards the end. And, you know, he's a good veteran presence type guy. You know, I definitely think they'll consider it, consider bringing him back. I don't see any reason that he would be a guy that they wouldn't want to have back, even for a depth guy.
I think he's a pretty good locker room guy, too.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. Those are the guys like Andre Carter are guys that I think they come in cheap. They fit a role. They may not be phenomenal, but they can certainly do the job, and they can get the job done. Especially if they have. When I was talking about earlier on the first podcast, earlier this week, we were talking about draft prospects, and I was saying, you know, one good pass rusher, one really impact player, can really help the rest of the defense. It's almost like, you know, forcing a quarterback to step up in the pocket or step towards the teeth of the defense to get away from a guy coming off the edge, for example, is going to help. And I think Andre Carter is that kind of guy who, you know, if you bring in a better pass rusher that's pushing them towards pushing them towards the teeth of the defense, and Andre Carter's coming off that other edge. He's a guy that, you know, he could really clean up and be productive. And so the Raiders are going to have to do things like that. And I think a pass rush really helps in the draft. And it'll help guys like that, that they can find, you know, as underrated free agents, basically, to make this defense better. And it's not going to get better overnight, but I think it can get a lot better if they continue to work the value free agents and a draft well.
Yeah, I agree. Another spot they need is linebacker. They need a lot of guys at linebacker. I think they're going to definitely try and re-sign Wheeler. I'd probably imagine that he'll re-sign because he had a pretty good year last year. I seemed to like him, but I mean, you and I think would both be shocked if McClain was back next year. I don't see any way they bring him back.
Well, let me tell you something about McClain that's interesting. The reason McClain is still on the team now, and the reason that he could be on the team next year, despite my opinion that they should have just cut their losses with him, is if they cut McClain, they actually take a cap hit. And what I mean is by that is not just the cap hit that they would take, like if they cut a normal, you know, any normal, they actually would have to pay more if they cut him than if he's on the roster. So it's almost worth it for them, for the Raiders, to just keep McClain on the roster and not even use him, or use him in emergency purposes only. I think as long as he's not causing a ruckus or being a cancer, then they're perfectly content to just kind of let him sit there, because he actually is worth more to them on the roster than he is off, provided he isn't, like I said, causing problems, which is unfortunate, but is the truth.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like on one end, he does cause problems. It's not like he's just bad. Like, you saw the whole, he had the falling out with Allen in practice last year. Like, it's not like he's like this great locker room guy and he tries really hard and he's just not very good. Like, he's really regressed, and I think he kind of is a cancer, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the Raiders are in a position of power with McClain now, because he's been suspended once, and the CBA, a second suspension enables them to really, they can take money from him. They can actually get some of that money back, both in real money and otherwise. And so I think, you're right. He has had some of those issues in the past, but if he pulls any of that again, they can start regaining that money, and they might be able to get rid of him without the same severe dead money figure. I think his dead money this year, if he was designated as a pre-June first cut, is like almost $11 million.
Oh, jeez.
But his cap number this year is only $6.7 million. So see what I mean is, against the cap this year, he costs $6.7. But if you cut him, he costs almost $11. So his dead money figure is actually bigger than his cap hit this year. So it's almost impossible to say for certain that you should want to get rid of him. I think it's one of those situations where, especially since there's no bodies at linebacker, they're going to try to see whatever they can do to salvage him as a backup. Now, his days of starting are done. But he's a unique situation where he's actually maybe better off keeping. Now, that said, there's also something called a post-June first cut, where the Raiders could spread the cap hit out over a couple years. And that dollar figure is obviously, I think, half as much, or even less than half as much as the dead money. So that would be about taking, the Raiders might end up saving about $3 million this year by doing that. So there's still something that the Raiders can do, but certainly, there's a possibility that, based on the various factors, that McClain could be on the roster. But I'm with you. I feel like if there's a way that they can get rid of him, they should just get rid of him now.
Yeah, I mean, I really like, when he came out, I thought it was going to be a great pick. Like, I remember that draft. I always used to do little mock drafts and stuff, and I was like, man, it'd be awesome if they would get Rolando McClain. Like, they won't do it, but they have other needs, but I would love for them to get McClain. And they got him, and I thought he was going to be great, and he just has not panned out at all. I mean, I think he was worse than Gaither. They brought Gaither in, and the defense was a lot better. Like, McClain's not even just bad. He's literally a net negative for them to have on the field.
You know, it's funny, Taylor. I remember that pick, and I predicted that the Raiders would take McClain with that pick. And I remember that specifically because I was less than enthused with the pick, where everybody else was really excited. Oh, McClain, they finally what they need at linebacker. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm willing to wait and see on the guy. And then when he didn't make an impact his rookie year, that's kind of what I knew already, because linebackers are one of those positions where if you've got a good one, if you drafted a good one, especially in the top 10 like they did, he should immediately make an impact on your defense. I mean, look at all these other linebackers. When you see linebackers come out, rarely does a linebacker take 2-3 years to develop into a dominant linebacker. That's rarity. Linebackers are like running backs. They come in, and they're either good or they're not. You know, and that's an oversimplification, but the reality is when you draft a guy in the top 10 like that, he should be an impact linebacker right away. And when he wasn't, and the struggles that he had, I was already concerned. And then, you know, when you obviously then have the off-the-field concerns, and his, you know, on-field play doesn't improve, it actually, you know, falls off. And, you know, so when I personally, McClain, I wasn't as enthused as some. I thought, hey, this guy's got a chance. I know what they wanted him to be, but I also, a lot of the scouts at the time didn't really love the pick, if I remember correctly. You know, a lot of scouts didn't think he was an impact linebacker. But then, you know, they don't know what the heck they're talking about. Aaron Curry was supposed to be this can't-miss player, and he ended up kind of bombing out too. So overall, though, there's certainly a path to him remaining on the roster. And I think if he causes any more issues, there's also a path for the Raiders to get rid of him. So we'll see what ends up happening. I know that they're going to try to restructure some guys as well to try to keep them, lower their cap hits, and then not avoid dead money that they would otherwise incur by cutting them this year.
Right. All right, so we know they need linebackers. We know they need cornerbacks. We know they need defensive ends. Could they also be in need of a punter?
Well, yeah, they're going to be in need of a punter because there's no way Shane Legler is going to be back unless he takes a significantly cheaper deal than he is used to.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to give him that kind of contract, though. I mean, he wasn't even that good last year.
Yeah, and that's maybe some hope. There's some hope for him in terms of him coming back because he's going to test the open market and realize no one's going to pay him what the Raiders were paying him before. And when it comes down to comfort level, you know, he's comfortable in Oakland. He's been with Oakland his whole career. Him and Seabass are buddies. And so I think there's a better chance that he comes back than people realize. But, you know, they're not going to make him the highest paid punter, I don't think. And they're going to want to pay him less than that. And he's going to have to accept that. And frankly, it's not like there's a huge market for punters out there. So there's certainly an avenue for him to come back.
Yeah, I'd like to see him back. But again, he wasn't even all that great last year. You know, I'd be pretty surprised if he got top punter money on the open market.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly got that potential, and he did have a little injury at the beginning of the season. You know, he didn't participate much in training camp because of that injury, and obviously that may have impacted him a little bit, you know, just from rust and practice, but, you know, as far as being, you know, right in his kicking. It's a very nuanced position. It's not sexy, but it's a very nuanced position, and he's one of the best. I think he's still one of the best, and he didn't have the best year last year, so maybe that bodes well for the Raiders. He had an amazing year last year. You know, there'd be probably no chance we're even talking about him returning, but for now, I still think there is an outside shot that he comes back, but he's going to have to take a significant pay reduction.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else we missed on defense?
I mean, there's depth everywhere. I mean, you could use depth at safety. We talked about defensive end, linebacker, inside linebacker, outside linebacker. I mean, there's certainly the Raiders. You could say the Raiders could bring in the guy at any position on defense, and you'd be like, okay, makes sense.
Right.
You know, whether that be a safety or a corner or a linebacker, inside, outside, defensive tackle, and defensive end. I mean, they really could do any of those things, and it would be and it would be a good move because they're depleted. But that said, there's a lot of young players that I feel like the Raiders probably feel like are going to up and coming. I mean, they drafted Jack Crawford and Christo Bilicchiti, last year. Those two defensive linemen, in year two, those guys might have more of a role. And so you have to keep in mind those things because that's one of those things. Well, we're thinking, well, there's no one that can possibly, play. But the thing about it is, Bilicchiti is probably going to get more playing time this year, regardless of who the defensive tackles are, whether it's Kelly and Brian or not. He's going to be that third guy that comes in. And then with Shaughnessy hitting the open market, and even if Houston stays outside, Jack Crawford's probably going to get some more playing time this year. So there's some young guys that I think they like. So when we say, oh, they need these guys, the team probably says, oh, we've got these young guys that we feel good about. We drafted. We're going to develop those guys. We feel good about giving those guys further opportunities next year. And so they're going to probably address some positions where they don't feel like they have some young talent. And so when you look at that, then you start going to corner. Okay, they've got not much young talent at corner that they drafted, or linebacker. So that's where they might focus a little bit more than the defensive line, where we are assuming that they might, address the defensive line a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that was a good one. So we're going to talk about, in the next coming podcasts, obviously, we will move closer towards the draft and also closer towards the start of the new league year and free agency. And that's really when we'll get into more of the specifics, certain guys the Raiders are looking at, or certain guys they're looking to bring in, and then obviously in the draft, certain guys they're looking to take. But as of right now, everything's purely speculative. We just wanted to give you guys a good idea of what kind of financial situation the Raiders were in, what they needed, and, what to kind of expect out of free agency.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all that stuff, and we'll have a lot to talk about. We're kind of a no BS kind of podcast. We just want to talk football and how it, equates to the Raiders, and we'll have a lot to talk about for free agency, and Raiders might restructure Palmer, and might restructure, cut guys. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different analysis to do and things to talk about in future weeks, so we'll have a lot of good stuff in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is our second podcast this week, so if you didn't tune into the first one, be sure to do that. We talked about the draft coming up, and we kind of reviewed the combine and some guys who helped themselves out of the combine that could be on the Raiders radar. That's weird. I should probably never use that again. But yeah, we did that. And then be sure to follow each of us on Twitter. Chris Hansen NFL, like the Seattle Supersonics guy. Chris Hansen, Hansen NFL. And I'm at T. Armisino, Armisino. And make sure to read all of Chris's great AFC West stuff on Bleacher Report. It's not just Raiders. It's Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos. He does the whole thing. So make sure to check that out as well. Last words?
None. Nailed it.
Good last words. Thanks all for listening, and Chris, I'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
See ya.